2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Now the question is, how is this all possible? Verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life. And that presumes we didn't have life. Whatever we had before, whatever we've been walking in all of our lives, was not life that He wants to give us through His divine power. It's some kind of new life. It's a new nature. But everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So He did the calling. We wouldn't be seeking Him if He hadn't been calling us. God, from the beginning, is the one that calls us out. The only reason you even begin to get close to His holiness is because you've been responding to His calling. You didn't get close to His holiness because you'd set out there on your own course because you thought this would be a good idea. It was because God has been calling you and you've been responding. It may have taken some years. It may have taken us, you know, we didn't quite understand what was going on for a long time. But once we begin to understand and we realize that He's testing us and we have to respond by turning to Him in faith constantly, day in and day out, He'll call you ever closer. But He's the one that's calling us out of His goodness. Okay, through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Now, He wants us to participate with Him in this nature that comes out of heaven. That's a divine nature. It's His life. Why? So we can, one thing, we can escape the corruption of the world. It's our sinful nature that keeps getting drawn back to the world. He wants us all to overcome the world. He wants us in a condition where this world cannot touch us.
Yep.
No matter what the circumstances or whatever, no matter what's thrown at us, that we overcome the world. That it just doesn't have any hold on us because of the life we have in our soul that's coming out of heaven, the divine nature. So the question is, where does the power come from? How does this all come about? How do we become holy? Well, we receive it. First of all, I guess we respond to it. This comes back to the word sanctification. Sanctification is the process of separating us to become God's exclusive property, exclusive vessel, for His use only. That's the sanctification, that's the separating. Then He fills us with His life of righteousness and holiness because that comes from heaven. And that's what enables us to overcome the world, escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires, that willfulness that just keeps wanting these things in this world, completely escape it. Okay? So, I mean, we're coming back to where's the power come from? It doesn't come from us. So, nobody can ever say, well, I can't ever do that. I don't have the strength. Well, no, you don't. You've got to learn the principle of perfecting God's power in your heart, and that's through weakness. It's an absolute childlike dependence and weakness that we perfect God's power in us. So the power comes from God out of heaven, and He fills us with this life when we've learned to depend on Him for everything. He's waiting to cleanse out a lot of things at first, though. Okay, let's go to 1 Chronicles. We probably have to go move on here. Okay, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 27 to 29. Okay, splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy in His dwelling place. We keep finding this picture of God having this dwelling place. God, we find in the first scripture we read in Deuteronomy, there in the presence of the Lord in the land of inheritance, basically. The Lord lives in that promised land, in that Sabbath rest. They're in the presence of the Lord. So that's where He's calling us from. The Lord doesn't really, while He was in the tabernacle as He led them through the desert, He was in the cloud and He's leading us. He's with us. He's always with us. Right? We can't overlook that. But we're now trying to picture being filled with the presence of the God all the time, day in and day out. And that happens in the land of holiness, basically. He separates us. But he says, the splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and joy in His dwelling place. There in the place of where He dwells is where splendor and majesty are. Now, that is supposed to be in us, not coming from us, but we've been here to manifest the glory of God. There's supposed to be a splendor of holiness that comes out of us, not because we're holy in anything that we've done. It's because the presence of the Lord is in us that He can manifest His power and His strength and His glory through us. He doesn't ever give us power. He doesn't give that to us. The Lord has it. And only as much as we have of the Lord do we have any strength. He just doesn't say, okay, here it is, you go out and now you be good Christians and do some great stuff for me. No, He doesn't ever give us the right to do anything other than what the Father has already planned to do, and He lets us know what that is day by day by day. And if His strength is going to be in it, it's because He's here doing it through us. He doesn't ever just allot us power to have for ourselves. Anyway, let's go. Ascribe to the Lord, O family of nations, ascribe to the Lord, glory and strength. He has it. He always holds on to it. He never lets it go. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Now, this is our part now. That was His part. He's got all the majesty. He's got all the splendor. He's got all the strength. Okay, but now, bring an offering. What is that? That's ourselves. Bring an offering of yourself. We're supposed to be a living sacrifice. We're supposed to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And we read that in Romans 12. Well, you bring an offering of yourselves, basically, and come before Him. Then what happens? If you would really bring that self, of your complete self, before Him, you would be enabled to worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. There's various translations with the splendor of His holiness. But the holiness, where does it come from? It comes from His splendor. It comes from His life. Holiness is something that is given to us. While there is the sense of us making every effort to be holy, we got to make every effort to let God strip us away from everything. You're not going to like it sometimes, what He's trying to do, but allow Him to be pulling this stuff out of you. But the true holiness of the Lord, the true righteousness of the Lord, has got to be a gift of the power, from the power of the Holy Spirit. So, the Scripture basically is showing us that it comes from God, holiness. It comes from His presence. When He takes us into the land, we live in His presence. We get all the blessings of His life inside of us. Okay, go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. Now, we saw that we were supposed to be bringing an offering. We're supposed to present ourselves to the Lord, so that He can become our source of holiness. Now, this is a teaching that seems to be very, very seldom you hear about in the church today, but it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, how would anybody ever put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness? We cannot do that. But we saw that in these other verses, we allow ourselves to be drawn into the presence. We offer up the sacrifice on the altar. That's what we can do. And God's holiness and righteousness will come down into us, the true stuff. The life that flows right out of the Holy Spirit, out of the Lord's life, can flow into us. Now, how come it's not happening to so many people? Well, for some reason, we don't think we're supposed to be making any effort to put off the old self. But we have to make a tremendous effort to put off the old self. And how do you do that? If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. You know, it's not a matter of just me even picking things out to put off. The Spirit, as He leads us, all we have to do is rest on the leading of the Spirit. He'll bring to us according to His own timing. He won't put on us more than we can bear. It won't be comfortable. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. But He never throws on us more than we can bear. He knows when we're ready to put off something, and He'll expose us to it. Expose it. But if by the Spirit you put to death, that means if by dependence, He shows you something to put off, you got to get back down on your knees, or however you're going to pray to the Lord, whether you're driving down the car, down the street in a car, it doesn't make any difference. Be praying to the Lord that He takes this stuff away from you, give you the strength. Just keep coming back to Him and coming back to Him. It's got to be done by the Spirit. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you cannot do it in your own strength. And so He's going to be teaching you day by day to come back to Him, to rely on Him. Every moment. This is praying without ceasing. We have enough difficulties as He's bringing us through the desert that cause us to need to be praying without ceasing, because we just got to keep coming back to Him. Lord, you got to help me here. You got to help me there. But it's going to be this absolute dependence on Him. But what I'm saying is there really has to be some real putting off, though. Because once He exposes it to us, there's going to be some things are just an absolute decision that has to be made. It's not necessarily anything inside of us. It's something we're holding to, that I got to make a decision. I cannot hold to this anymore. I cannot hold to it. I know that I'm using it as a heart idol. I know that I'm dependent on it. I know that it is coming before me and God, because every time I look to this thing, I'm not looking to God. It has become my source of trust. And so, as He exposes those things, we're going to have to use our will to agree to give them up. We have to agree to give them up. And we can learn to use the Lord to help us give them up, but we've got to agree to it. And so that's what we've got to be doing. Putting off this old self that relied on all the things of the world. Let me cover this. You have to renew, be made new in the attitude of your minds. And that just pictures us going from a self-directed life to a Spirit-directed life. That's all He's trying to tell us here. You've got to go a whole new way of looking at things. I've got to be led by the Spirit. It's not me directing my life. I've got to learn how to be led by the Spirit. That's all I have to do. The Lord will lead me. But that's the renewing of the mind, to learn to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit will bring you true righteousness and holiness. It's not you learning how to develop true righteousness and holiness. You've got to learn to put off, basically, learn to be led. And one day, like it happened on the day of Pentecost, there was a change of nature that took place in these first disciples. They walked with Jesus. They'd given up everything. I mean, they did. They gave up everything to follow Jesus. They followed Him for 3 years. But they couldn't get the nature of true righteousness and holiness in them. They couldn't do that. They waited for the day of Pentecost. The Lord said, you know, wait for the promise of my Father. Don't go anywhere. So they waited. And the promise of the Father came down to them and changed their nature. And it enabled them to walk in a way that God, through Jesus, could not teach them with words. It could not be taught with words. It had to be something that was imparted to them by the Holy Spirit. Okay, now let's turn to John 14. Gospel of John. Chapter 14, verse 21. Says, whoever has my commands and obeys them. Do we realize that nobody will have the Lord's commands and obey them without a regenerate heart? We have to understand that. Something has had to have happened to us. God has had to have changed something in our heart before we would ever want to respond to His teachings. He had to have breathed the Spirit into us, basically. Like He did. Well, actually, it has to be even something more. The Spirit has to lead us. The Spirit has to cause us to want to obey Him. But that's not enough. Whoever has my commands and obeys them with a regenerate heart, basically, he is the one who loves me. Now, he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Remember, the promise is coming from the Father. It's the promise of the Father, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's a promise of the Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. The promise is to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. But that is really the life of Jesus Christ coming in the form of the Holy Spirit and filling the temple of our body. It's beyond just normal spiritual regeneration. Spiritual regeneration gives you, that comes from the blessing of, you know, you have a blessing of hungering after righteousness. You just need this, you thirst after righteousness, you desire it. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. The filling comes when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and shows himself inside of us. It's the life of Jesus. So what I'm saying is, those who are responding to him, those who he tests, those, like the other day, when he threw a test at you, and you think, well, should I go back to the bottle, or should I turn to the Lord in dependence? Well, you passed that test. Well, that's responding. You keep responding like that, with his help, through dependence. And so what's he promised to do if you keep responding that way? He says, I will come and show myself to him. You want Jesus Christ to show his very nature to you, right? Wouldn't you like to have Jesus' nature in you? Wouldn't that make it all... I mean, the bottle wouldn't even be a factor to you anymore.
How about Jesus by hands be a good example?
Okay, now turn to John 16... 14. Just flip over here. And this is the promise of the Holy Spirit. John 16, 14. Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine. What is Jesus's? What does Jesus have? He's Spirit now. He has this divine nature. He has this life in heaven. And so this scripture says that the Holy Spirit will take from his spiritual nature in heaven, in his life, and make it known to you. So how are we ever going to get the nature of Jesus Christ in our soul? That Holy Spirit has to take of that nature, has to take of that life, and make it known to us inside of us. And the only way to really have that nature in us, it can't be from just memorizing Scripture. The Holy Spirit has to take and show it to us, inside of us. Now, the Scriptures tell me that this Scripture is a great Scripture. It tells me that the Holy Spirit can show me the nature of Jesus Christ. It doesn't tell me, you know, to go out there and try to produce this and make yourself holy and to do all this. It says... Actually, we have to turn to the Lord in absolute faith and wait for Him, wait for the Holy Spirit to reveal and make known to us what that nature is all about. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 6. We'll start at verse 14. This is where he talks about us being the temple. And again, what I was just saying, that the Lord needs a lot of us. He needs a lot. This church body, it was going to be his church body. Yeah. And he calls us out to be a vessel of his life. And he when he went into heaven, he said it was good that he went away. Because when he was down here by himself in his own body, He could only reach a limited amount of people, but by going away, he says, I can really communicate get and become glorified. I can really communicate my life back to you, and that, in effect, he could live his life through us and just have, you know, hundreds and thousands of people manifesting in his life and his light into the world, showing people what the love of God is all about, and to draw them into this love of God, into this life, the blessings that God wants to do and put into our soul. But why doesn't that happen? We got to look at verse 14. 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. It's a problem if we hang out with unbelievers. They're going to draw us back into their unbelief. They're going to draw us into their world. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Now, I'm not saying that once we have the light of life in us, we won't go back amongst unbelievers. But once you overcome the world, and this world has no hold on you, and the Lord sends you out, their world can't touch you anymore. It won't. But you can take a light in amongst them. Now, they're going to think you're quite a stranger and a complete alien to anything they know. That's what it says, that we're aliens and strangers. I mean, it is. We're supposed to be living in the heavenly realms. We're not supposed to be walking according to the ways of this world, so we're going to look very unnatural to them. But on the other hand, we're supposed to be so filled with the life of Lord Jesus Christ that light draws them and attracts them out of their darkness and into His light. That's the purpose. For we are the temple of the living God. And it says, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. That is exactly the same description of the Lord walking with the first Adam. It's exactly the same description that Adam and the Lord walked together in the garden. I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So there is this walking with the Lord in the same sense that the Father, well, it was the Lord that walked with Adam. Now, the same sense that the Father walked with Jesus, is the same sense that the God initially walked with Adam. He was inside of him. The Spirit was in him when he walked in the garden. I know it pictures, but I'm saying that it shows physical types in the Old Testament to help us understand spiritual principles. But God was inside Adam until he sinned and the Spirit departed. Now, he wants to come back and walk among us in the same way. He wants to be in us and just walking with us all the time. And so, in exactly the same way that the Father was in Jesus, walking in with Him and walking amongst him, with Him all the time, the Father wants to be walking with us. Okay, but how can that be? He says, therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I'll receive you. Again, that requires a regenerate heart to come out, to follow the Lord into the land of holiness, to be separate and distinct and belong totally to the will of the Father. It requires a regenerate heart. So, what does this mean? Then I will receive you. Haven't I already received Him? Well, we've received Him. We've trusted in the Lord. We've received the Lord into our life. And I guarantee you, if you have a hunger and thirst to be like Jesus, you've had the Spirit breathed into you. But He's talking about now this receiving us into the promised land. You know, we've been taking us through the desert. I will receive you there in the presence of the Lord, how we started off tonight. There I'll bless you with all these spiritual blessings. He's talking about receiving us into the promised land where we live in His presence day in and day out. So how do you get received into that promised land, that land of Sabbath rest? Come out and touch no unclean thing. And you got to think about all these things that are unclean. All those things that we've been relying on. Everything. They can be the most innocent things. But they're unclean to God because we've just turned from God to rely on them. So they can become unclean in that sense. What this pictures is,
uncleanness and holiness. They're always contrasted against each other. There's uncleanness and holiness. God took these unclean things and made them holy all the way through the Old Testament. They're always unclean. They start out as a perfectly good cup, a perfectly good table, a perfectly good thing, but it was unclean until it was separated exclusively for God's use. Then it became clean. When we think of uncleanness, we just think of all these nasty things. Well, uncleanness to God is anything that's not separated to His exclusive use. And so it remains unclean. And all these other things that we were holding on to, and, well, I'm just saying all the other little heart idols that we're depending on are unclean. They're separating us from the presence of the Lord. So we've got to release those. We've got to give them up. Come out from them, touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And He'll bring us into that Sabbath rest of God. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, chapter 7, verse 1 is the important. Since we have these promises, now we have these promises sitting out here. What are we going to do with these promises? Dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. To enter into the presence of the Lord, to receive all of these spiritual blessings, all these promises that we've been talking about, the life of God in the soul of man, what do we got to do? We've got to turn from our heart idols. That's the only thing that separates us from God. When we've given up all hope in everything else, and He measures the heart. You see, our heart is deceitful beyond all things. He keeps looking at it. So, you know, don't worry about it. He also says, I search the heart, and I'll expose the things that to let you know what you're dependent on you don't even realize. So you just rest. Don't get all anxious and excited about how come I'm not in there yet. Just let the Lord do His work. I mean, be concerned that you're moving forward. Be concerned that God's working in my life and showing me things all the time. Because if He's not showing you things, then you got to be concerned. Because God would keep us moving. I guarantee you, He would just keep us moving. He'd keep showing us. As long as He's showing us things, we're moving. We're learning dependence. He's driving us back into dependence on Him. But if He's not showing us anything, we're just going along, fat, dumb, and happy. And we think, this is great. We're great Christians now. And He hasn't been showing me anything in my life. You've got to really be concerned. Okay? So all I'm saying is, as long as He's moving you along, don't get anxious and worried about it. God, according to His perfect timing and His will take you into the land. All you have to do is trust Him to believe that we have these promises. So, dear friends, so let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Perfecting it. I mean, absolutely dependence upon Him. That's how you perfect holiness. You just become dependent upon Him. You don't depend on anything else. If you were depending on anything else, God would fill you. He would. So there are some things that we're still depending on that keeps us separated from God. And just ask Him to search your heart. Ask Him to reveal those things. You know, it's also our pride. I mean, we got to be very careful about that thing. Our pride is what, you know, He gives grace to the humble and opposes and resists the proud. Now, that resistance that He does is out of love. It's to break us so we will be humble. You know, when He resists the proud, it's to make them humble, because when they're humble, then He can lift them up. Mm-hmm. So everything works to bring us to God if we will only respond to the Holy Spirit. Our work is consecration. That's really all we can do. We can consecrate ourselves. That means to give ourselves up to the Lord. It's God's work to truly make us holy. He'll sanctify us. He'll separate us. And when there's nothing left, when we're absolutely empty, and it gets miserable, I have to forewarn you that it gets miserable when we lose all of our heart idols and the glory of the Lord really hasn't filled our presence yet. So we're kind of left there in the darkness of the grave, waiting to be raised up into the heavenly realms. And it's kind of miserable. He just leaves us there. It seems like there's nothing going on in our lives. Well, all I can come back to you and say, He's securing you against yourself. Because it's ourself that gets ourselves into all the trouble. He has to just deaden you. When you're really dead to self, and you haven't been relying on your carnal activities to produce life in you anymore, and you're only waiting for the Lord to fill you, that's when you're getting close. I mean, he raises you up. Jesus had to wait in the grave a few days to be raised up, even after dying. So, we have these promises, and he's calling us out to fill us with his life. So we've really got to believe that it's worthwhile to make the sacrifice. That's why the lesson, you know, the blessings of holiness. It's a blessing to enter into holiness. We have to know that all the blessings of life are in holiness. It's in the presence of the Lord.